allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Is everybody having a chance to review the minutes?
Can I move that we adopt the minutes?
I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Keith, no problem update.
All right. Welcome, everyone. It's my first time seeing most of you, so. For the financials, there were total expenditures year-to-date of $577,593. Total income was $1,838, of which was reduced by $16,729 due to the mark-to-market we do on the investment portfolio. Current fund balance is $17.4 million, of which Putnam QIP is $2.7 million, Westchester QIP is $3.9 million, and FAD is $10.8 million. Our investments are $6.4 million in U.S. Treasuries and $1.5 million in bank CDs. And we've made $441,412 in investment income since inception. Open contract balances are $757,000. FAD commitments are $4.9 million and outstanding balances are $558,000. Does anyone have any questions or comments or anything?
Okay, moving on. We have an issue before us right now. We need three people to sign the checks. Currently, it is myself, Warren, and Peter. Peter is no longer looking to be a check signer. Is that
correct? But, I mean, I'm quitting at the end of the year.
Yes.
So there's a limit, time limit on
it. Is that your concern, that you're not going to be here after the first of the year?
Right.
Would you be willing to sign the checks until then?
Yes, because I like seeing Linda.
I like seeing you too, Peter.
So that is a really an issue.
Well, my concern is that we're not ready for when October rolls around, and then we don't know who will be willing to be another check signer.
But he's going to be here till December 31st.
Okay.
He's going to be available.
Okay.
And then, you know, there's going to be a change in supervisors coming in. We recognize that. We had a conversation about, you know, addressing that early on and, you know, starting to get all the new supervisors, because we've got quite a few new supervisors, especially thanks to my fellow supervisors in Putnam who are abandoning us.
We still have to remove Chris as a check signer. He's still on there. So that's another person that needs to be taken off.
Okay.
If you were to replace him, then you would at least have one spare, right?
Right.
Yes, that is true. All right.
My gosh,
well, Chris is off because he is no longer a supervisor.
Right, he's but he's still client. On the checking.
So we just need to remove him officially,
right,
through the banks.
That's right.
And we
that's
need
right.
to replace him.
Right. Okay. So the bank right. is
so
asking
not...
for meeting minutes that reflect that.
Okay. Well, I'll make a motion that we remove Chris Burdick as a person authorized to sign checks for the East of Hudson Watershed Corporation.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, and who do we have left then on the executive committee? As a supervisor,
well,
we don't have one, do we?
Well, James Schmidt,
yeah.
Joanne Daly.
No, you're not.
Right.
You can't because you're not a director.
Okay.
Because the bylaws say it has to be directed.
I'm an alternate,
right? It can't be an alternate the way that.
Do you think James would be willing to sign them if I came by?
Yeah.
Because it's really
catching up with them, yes.
Right. It's just the voucher part. The checks themselves are signed by two, by Rich and Warren. Right.
I'll ask.
Okay, because he's nearby and that would be helpful.
Okay.
If I had to make a run.
All right, let's hold this off to the executive committee meeting and we'll have a further conversation.
Okay.
Because Peter is still with us.
Right.
You think?
I'm just about to order some power.
Well, I only initiated it because Peter asked me to find someone.
Well, you were getting a little frazzled at times about finding somebody.
Right, right, well.
And I didn't see why you should be frizzled or frazzled or frazzled.
All right, let's move on. Chris, Kate, you want to go through those words the list of recording and filing due dates?
I'm not, well, we haven't made any changes to this, Linda, since the executive committee meeting last.
Well, Mary Ann Carr did complete her conflict of interest and her acknowledgement of fiduciary. Yes, she was the only one. The fiduciary acknowledgement and her conflict of interest were completed. That was it.
So the whole thing is are we, you know, going to give any, repercussions or whatever for not completing those? Which, you know, I think is not to be able to vote. That's the only.
I think shame is your only weapon.
Yeah, probably. I'm not sure Bruce Barber is all that involved. I haven't seen Bruce Barber in 3 years.
So, and I'm saying I'm highlighted in yellow, so I'm one of the offending parties, so I better get my paperwork in. So shame's working on me.
Okay, good. And maybe you could shame Jimmy a little bit?
Yeah, he was supposed to do it just to bring my application. Obviously, forgot. So he's back. I'll speak to him today.
Yeah, I think what we determined was that Bruce Barber is the alternate for Putnam Valley.
That is correct.
Is he still?
He has been off for a while, and he's just now returned back to his function as wetland inspector and planning for a community. So I don't know. I have not listed him as an alternate for any of these. Because I'll be here at least till January.
Okay.
But this summer, I don't know about science.
Okay. And just as a reminder to everybody, the O&M inspections on all your stormwater practices in your town is due by the end of August.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get those into the corporation, that would be wonderful. Okay, we have a discussion on the procurement policy. Christine, do you want to take that? Or?
So, and we'll do this with Kevin, I think. So the staff asked to be able to use electronic submissions instead of hard copy submissions for engineering proposals. This isn't something we're talking about for public bids. This is only for professional services. And it is permitted that you will do that. It is recommended that those kinds of procedures, you know, when you're using an electronic system, you want to make sure you follow the same kind of procedures that you do virtually in a hard copy form. So in a hard copy form, you keep things sealed, keep them confidential. We're going to have to do the same thing with this. One of the things that they are considering is BIDNET, which I think probably a lot of you have some familiarity with. So that's one possibility. No?
I'm not familiar.
Okay.
That doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
It's an online bid process that does appear to be fairly secure in terms of how it processes things. So you have to go to login and all of that in order to be able to read the bids. It's something that the EC can consider if the board authorizes professional services to be procured through electronic means, then, you know, we'll have to talk about exactly, you know, you could create something on your website if you use an existing provider, you know, but what the EC needs to do is just amend the policies, or excuse me, what the board needs to do is amend the policy so that the policy allows for this matter submission expressly. So that's what the resolution is for, is just to amend the existing policy to allow for this kind of electronic submission. And do you want to speak to the amendment to that?
Sure. What we've seen over the last few years certainly is a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of engineers that kind of scurry to get a bid in at the last second, or maybe the UPS or Postal Service wasn't delivering a bid on time. In addition to the fact that we'll end up with a stack of papers, about 6 inches full of these submissions that come in, to only then send it out electronically to all the technical committee, just makes all sense to eliminate the paper pile if we can, and just keep the files electronic. So this will be an easy update to get us up to speed, I think, with everybody on the side.
We do have a resolution.
I'll move the resolution.
All right, discussion. Has anybody used BidNet to accept bids itself?
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't. What I do with BidNet is I post up just a public notice, and then we have the hard copies come in. So does BidNet offer the fact that it will keep your I put the public notice out. All of you bid on it. Does BidNet keep that for you? Or do they submit it to me electronically? So how are we using BidNet?
So I'm not suggesting that you approve BidNet today.
And BidNet is mentioned here. I'm not saying BidNet's the way to go.
Right.
What are we looking to do? Right, so.
Essentially what we're looking to do is create a lockbox where these documents would go in, and our staff would not have access to that box until noon, the day we open.
And BidNet affords that? I don't know. I don't use BidNet that method, so I don't know if anybody has that experience.
That was our understanding. We had a quick crash course on it maybe about a year ago from their representatives to make sure to see if it was something that we wanted to do. And we evaluated further to make sure that that's a service they can provide, but that's it.
Yeah, I didn't know that they did that. That's pretty cool. So what we do at Camp Carmel is we ask for an electronic submission along with the hard copy, so that we don't have to start making copies like these guys are doing here, to send them out to the executive review committee. I already have it, just send it out, right? So, but it all comes in at the same time, hard copy wise. Or would we accept electronic submissions in an envelope? Could they put it on a thumb drive? Why use BidNet? Just send it in an envelope, right? And have it delivered that way. I mean, there's a million ways to look at this, right?
Mm-hmm. It's security. It holds it. We don't want hard copies. We want it to be recorded on BidNet. And then on that specified date, that bid opening occurs, we have it there. And, it's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
We have had problems in the past with hard copies somehow being leaked to individuals a couple of years ago, and that's what turned us on.
That's always the issue, isn't it, right?
Exactly.
And we have used thumb drives, and said you need to submit your proposal on a thumb drive, not here, right? But I have experience doing that as well. You have to overnight it or whatever to get to the agency. And that works fine for an RFP-type proposal. And so you could do a combination of BidNet and give you a thumb drive if you want to.
I like the idea of the lockers for BidNet or some other company that does that, just because then it keeps it out of the hands.
Exactly.
Absolutely
what we've seen over the last 2 years has been, a call at 1 p.m. saying, did you get my bid? And we have to say, no, UPS didn't bring it, or Postal Service didn't provide it. We don't want those showing up a week early, and now they're sitting around and they're in our possession, to your point. So a combination of the two, sure, there are folks that can just drive right down the road, drop it off the day they visit, but we've got other folks that are sending things in from Syracuse, or even further.
I think that we have one form and go with a company that can collect it and then release it to us when we need it released.
So we'll evaluate if it is BidNet. If there's an alternative, we'll figure out what it is and ask for some feedback from you folks that might be familiar with the process. We'll go from there.
So Sam moved the resolution. Did you second it?
For discussion.
Second. I'll second now too.
Aye. All right, project update. Kevin.
We are getting ready to start some construction on a few projects. One in Newcastle in the fall at Fort Mill Road, and second in Southeast at Fort Mill Park. Both were going through the permit process over the last few months, but we are getting to the finish line on both of those. So we'll discuss with independently with both those towns to schedule everything and get things moving forward, but we're close to getting those done. To restart down in Mount Kisco at Leonard Park, finalize that project that was shut down for summer for use of the public grounds by the residents. And we have a catch basin insert installation coming in Mount Kisco at MKNT 602 at the Mount Kisco Commons, which we have finally got an installation agreement in for, and expect that to be another fall installation that goes in. The I apologize because my notes went print, but we are actively pursuing U.S. Army Corps of Engineering funding on a large group of projects. We had a big influx of non-FAD projects that came in on the sheet and will probably continue to come in over the next few months that we can include on the Army Corps funding, which I believe, if I recall correctly, is an 80% match. The corporation would pay 20, the Corps would pay 80. We did the same type of contract for Leonard Park over the last year. Another contract included the project that's coming up in Newcastle, same situation, 80%, 20%. And so we're going to load that up with some other non-FAD projects that we were able to identify over the course of the last year, and some new ones that are coming gradually. We'll keep pressing those forward. We expect to get that agreement in place within the next few weeks to a month. As they look to their year ends in September 1st, I believe it is. So we'll be coordinating with them to figure out whether or not it's going to be a contract for the next calendar year for them or something that will get in quick to start working on. All those projects have to be essentially at a pretty well along the line in order to qualify for core funding. We need to have a pretty close idea of what the budget is going to be for construction on all those. Typically, we would pick up the engineering fees, they would pick up, share the construction fees with us. So it's been a good relationship thus far. We'll look to push it ahead with those folks. The coming up in the next few months would be the year, technically the year 11 work plan that would have to be submitted to the DEC. So we'll have to have a conversation with the DEC to find out exactly what they would like see on that, if it's just going to be a continuation of existing projects or if they want us to meet any specific requirements. As you guys know, we don't have a year 11 through 20 goal that's been put in place, but we'll continue talking with them to see what that might be and if we're going to see a permit at any time for all the municipalities within the watershed. As of right now, it's still, they're working on.
Well, I can jump in. I've had conversations with DEC this week. They say that the release of the new MS4 permit is imminent and not to expect a lot of changes.
Oh.
From the draft that came out.
Well,
no. From the current
permit. From the current permit.
Well, the draft was...
the draft was extreme.
The draft was radical.
Yes, yes, that's it.
So the...
The sense I got is they're pulling back, but they are timing the release of the MS4 permit with the new East of Hudson implementation plan. What? There was an implementation plan done which established the standards for the phosphorus reduction for each municipality that was 2008?
Sounds right.
Something
that was like the driver that. Behind this whole organization, right? I mean,
Yes.
That was the driver behind this organization.
Yes.
No, that was well after this organization.
Yeah.
So anyway, actually, no, you're right.
He's right.
Yeah.
He knows.
So they're updating all that.
Okay.
They're changing all that. I think they're adding in the schools.
Yay, yeah. You mean those guys don't get your sex?
We'll see what they do.
Well, if they add in the schools, for heaven's sake, I'll lose most of the phosphorus reduction I've got in Lewisburg.
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
Not necessarily.
Part of the conversation that I've had with Tom over the last 2 years or so was pointing out that some of the school districts have worked with us and have allowed retrofits to go in, and we shouldn't put anything in place that's going to penalize those folks that have already.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. You know, like in the case that you're bringing up, we did a lot at John Jay Cross River already. So if they then ask them to then come up with more when they've already assisted, that's wouldn't be fair. Which Tom was recognized.
Okay.
So we'll see
what
that.
There's other municipalities that have those projects too.
Sure. Yeah. So there's a lot out there that, especially with schools, I'm quite content to see that Tom's recognized that.
Back to you.
Okay. Let's see. O&M. Yes, O&M. So on the sheet here, you see the O&M annual revision. We actually pulled that late because the revision was so minor. We didn't want to put them in place now. It would have required a larger effort with each individual municipality to approve that locally in order for us to amend the manual today. So we will continue on with the manual that's in place and table that issue for another time.
Kevin, can you elaborate what that meant?
Sure. All it was when it was originally done, we called out a specific calendar year within there. So, you know, for instance, we said everything's due April 19th, 2016. All the edits that we're talking about was merely cleaning it up, getting rid of the calendar year, obviously. To change it to the third Friday in April, the third Friday of August.
That makes sense.
Yeah, just to clean up.
You'd be teaching the legal.
Yes, they're teaching you well. So on O&M discussion, we, as Rich alluded to earlier, you know, and as I was just talking about, we do ask that you all look at O&M quarterly, try to get these submittals into it so we can review them and get them filed throughout the year rather than just in December and January. There's never a reason to wait. So if anybody does have anything that they've accomplished within the municipality, the next few days coming up quickly in August. So we encourage you to get anything back to us when you can. Right now, I'll be reviewing with our attorneys and the executive committee that's been going out to an RFP on services to replace the catch basin inserts around the watershed. Those were up. Actually, part of the blanket purchase order that's in place that we utilize to purchase them for installation also has language in there for maintenance. So we're going to speak towards whether or not we can utilize that BPO for maintenance moving forward, or go out to RFP ourselves and try to get a more aggressive price. But we'll work with the technical committee and the executive committee will figure out exactly what the next approach is going to be. Because a lot of those inserts are going on private property where we know the municipalities will be reluctant to allow their staff to go and maintain them. So we'll figure out what the next step will be for those. But a couple of those projects are coming up for replacement within the next 2 months.
Anything else?
Okay. Any member have any other business they wish to bring up at this time?
Richard, I have a question about the, I see a few people here will be asking something about when they're sure things comfortable. County and we've all been calling to ask everyone to submit their voting cards, per se, and if they don't, they should wear masks. Do you do that here or not? I think it would be fair to everybody.
How's everybody feel about that? I can tell you how I feel about it. You know, I am absolutely offended over the COVID restrictions and the COVID guidance coming out of the CDC in Washington, especially in light of the Israeli study, where people who have gotten COVID have been shown to have equal immunity to those people having vaccination. And when the CDC comes out with a recommendation that says people who have had COVID still need to get vaccinated because, well, twice as much is just as good as is having the vaccination, I have a problem with that. So I'll leave it to everybody else, but I can tell you as somebody who's had COVID, who has talked to two medical professionals who have said you don't need to get the shot because you've got the immunity, and I've been tested to see that I've got the immunity, that the fact that I'm being discriminated against really offends me. So that's my two cents.
I agree.
I will second that as well.
Yeah.
Well, I'm vaccinated and I'll wear a mask.
Yeah. And yeah, I don't have a problem with you wearing a mask.
I choose to wear it.
Right.
I will wear it. I will do what I got to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fine. Yeah.
I think it should be personal choice.
Yeah.
Agree.
Agreed.
But I don't think it is. I mean, isn't the recommendation that if you're not vaccinated, you wear a mask? I mean, we require that in my town hall. We don't ask people whether you've had it or not. The CDC standard is if you don't. If you're not vaccinated, you wear a mask. I assumed walking into this room that everybody that was maskless had been vaccinated. And I'm really appalled to find out that that's not the case, because I certainly would have worn a mask and I am fully vaccinated. I find it shocking that we're not complying.
But the CDC itself had said it is a recommendation, not mandating.
Right.
Nobody has mandated it, and I think that's the way it should be.
Right. But as a governmental entity, I would imagine that we would follow CDC recommendations, I think. Yeah.
But they're also recommending that people that have gotten the vaccination wear the mask as well, from
absolutely.
What I've heard.
I mean, they're
right?
recommending everybody wear a mask,
yeah.
Right.
whether
exactly.
you're vaccinated or not.
Yeah.
And for me, I've been vaccinated, I've had COVID, I have a mask to make you feel more comfortable if everyone prefers that people wear masks. But I would choose not to wear a mask.
Well, I'm just going to speak up. My wife is a physician, and, you know, obviously I have, you know, a little bit of her inside thing. For most people who are vaccinated, they don't have too much to worry about COVID. The actual disease, you'll get better for the most part. What's the concern is what's called long COVID, or long hauler syndrome. And there's a lot of, that is more significant in the long run than COVID is. And, you know, some of you know that of people who have not been able to continue in their jobs because of long COVID. They could get brain fog. You get almost like chronic fatigue syndrome. And so being vaccinated and protecting yourself from getting a breakthrough infection and winding up with something like that is probably very important.
I think that varies from doctor to doctor, though. My physician said if you're healthy and you're young, you don't need it. So.
My wife has been in charge of the COVID response for two health systems so far.
Yeah. And I'm treating this like the flu. You know, I don't get the flu shot. I maintain a healthy regime, you know, and so far, for the most part, I don't get the flu every year.
Me neither.
You know? Yeah. So, and I will say, yes, I did have COVID, no symptoms. I didn't even know I had it. So I'm one of the fortunate ones.
Yeah.
Good.
Yep.
So, listen, I always believe that your choice in your health care is your decisions, and, you know, act accordingly. If you feel comfortable wearing a mask, I'm not going to ridicule you for wearing a mask. If you want to get the vaccine, and if you don't. You know, it's your choice.
Okay, so I think we're out of the realm of what our meeting is supposed to be about in the grand scheme of things. However, I will throw in two cents. If you're a smoker, do you pay a higher insurance premium? It's a question of rhetorical question. The answer is yes, right? So if you're a smoker, you pay a higher insurance premium. If you're not vaccinated, you should pay a higher insurance premium. I think we go, let's say, what it comes down to, leave politics aside, leave personal choice aside, it comes down to money. Everything's about money. This whole organization ultimately is about money. Yes, we're protecting the environment and phosphorus, the whole thing. But it's about how we're getting the money and paying for it. People who have COVID or choose not to get vaccinated, it's going to stress the system. Pay more on insurance premium. Don't don't get vaccinated. I don't care. That doesn't bother me. But you pay more, you should pay your share. That's the way it should be. Let free market run this. That's how it should be.
Okay, just so you know, town health insurance, we don't pay more for smokers.
So if you're a smoker, you don't have to pay a higher premium?
I'm saying that the town health insurance premium is the same for all individuals in my town hall, whether they smoke or not.
In our town hall as well.
In our town hall, but I think that's a function of government insurance rather than the outside world.
Whatever. The ACA is a little different, so.
All right, moving on, I do have one piece of other business that I need to talk to everybody about. And that is that Chris Hardwick is championed, and working with Peter Harcum, Senator Harcum, they have secured $300,000 for the organization to study the wastewater needs of all our municipalities. I'm short on details. I still have yet to receive a scrap of paper saying anything on anything, but I have been having conversations with both Chris and with Tom Snow up in DEC, who is preparing the contracts. We've had a number of conversations about what the scope will look like and, you know, what is involved. I have confirmed that the administrative costs of the organization for managing the grant will be an eligible cost, so we can get reimbursed for that and we can have our staff involved. And I've also been informed that the funding, the $300,000, covers not only those areas within the East of Hudson watershed, but also areas of our individual municipalities that extend outside of the watershed. Now, that may have an interesting twist on it because the corporation is limited to the East of Hudson watershed boundaries. More on this as we hear about it. And as I, you know, talk further with everybody, I will keep you informed. But to get this going, what I'm going to be doing is sending a letter out to everybody requesting three things. One is any wastewater studies that have been conducted in the past within your individual municipalities. Going back to diversion?
Digital, please, digital.
Yes.
and
I'm going to ask you to submit them into the East of Hudson Watershed Corporation, who will be the repository for all this information. And then I'm going to ask all the municipalities to identify any areas of concern within the watershed that you have that may need to have us look at wastewater and or alternate septic system design technologies, and then identify those same areas outside of the watershed that you would like to see studied.
Are we talking about collection systems or treatment or both?
Both, right now. $300,000 for this large area is not gonna go very far.
No, it's not.
I don't
it's
know
not.
Where we're, what we're gonna do with it, but we're, you know, seed money.
I mean, it sounds like it's probably just gonna pull together all the reports that we're already done.
Been
a lot of work.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like this is anything new.
Yeah.
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 Any questions?
Based on all these reports, do you think there
will
be additional funding once we have
that's the hope.
That's what the Assemblyman Burdick's hope is, that we're going to get a study that's going to identify the needs, and then he is going to try to secure funding to, you know, get those projects built.
Wow. I'm just thinking that outside the watershed, that would be most of my town.
Yeah.
And I've got some areas that are really hard hit.
Yeah.
You know, the old summer colonies that are now year round. And
so,
even if it were to come back and say, yes, there's a desperate need for that area, it would cost them to the millions of dollars to provide any type of treatment.
Yes.
So.
So again, I'm not sure exactly how this is going to evolve because $300,000 is not going to
happen. Oh, New York City's got the money.
Excuse me?
It does. It does have
a lot. Some of us know here. York City's already put up signals.
So I don't know we're gonna be able to meet everybody's wish list. You know, we may have to pare it down, but, you know, we've gotta get started on this.
Right, but so the board knows, like, Peter, you have issue, you have the East Hudson community grant money, Kent does, Town of Carmel does. I don't know what other communities have it, but there's this study that's being performed right now by the New York City DEP, or funded by the New York City DEP, as being run by the town.
That was why I joked about New York City providing.
Could you give us anything you have on that as well?
Yeah, our draft report for every municipality is due on August 15th, so it's due in a week, the draft report is. End of the year, final report, I think, is December 21, the final report is due. So y'all have those, we can certainly give you the scope of work that was pulled together. It's up to any of you wants to share any draft reports, it's not towns. But you asked for reports, I mean, this is huge. The town has four projects, Kent has one, you guys have two or three, right? So I think there's a couple others I'm missing that's it. So there's eight projects total that are already, that whole idea is being looked at, so.
Just those three municipalities?
Is that Five Basin or?
Yeah.
So what was that initiative?
They're all FAD.
We were required to provide a certain level of funding to study these eight communities. The communities were given, the late communities, they were given to us by the DEC or the DOH, and those reports, like Rich said, draft reports are due on the 15th, the final reports are due, and that's FAD deadline by December 1st.
So there's no reason that you wouldn't share those reports or draft reports with DOH, is there?
I don't know if we would share draft reports. I have to ask about that. We can certainly share the final reports in the Senate.
That's up to them.
It's kind of up to Vinny because he's writing the draft.
If they submit them bigger, it's not DOH.
I can ask about that to see if we share draft reports. I mean, we don't know what conditions reports are going to come in.
Well, the scope could certainly be great, you know, shared, and the RFPs that went out could certainly be shared, right? I mean, so you understand what the level of effort was. I'd be averse to giving a draft report just yet, again, because it still has to go through the DEP and my WIPIC review process. So while I may agree with some of the findings of DEP, when they look at it, they say no, and vice versa, right? It might be LRA, so.
But the RFPs have been agreed by everybody, so there is no reason why we shouldn't send those in.
Yeah,
is that a fair comment,
Vinny? What was to be included, so you can have a good idea of what's in this.
Yeah, most of your work will be done over here. Already have RFPs to go out.
That's awesome. Well, something that everybody can. I was just saying, some kind of Dropbox feature that you guys can send things to instead of just emailing a bazillion big documents.
Well, the reports would be big, so we certainly would do that in the future. But the RFPs and that information, the scopes, it's not a lot of work.
I have a feeling this is going in the category of be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
You won't be fine.
Thank you.